Romans chapter 12, and we'll focus on verse 1 and 2. So if you turn as well, if you'd like to, Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. Let's bring Brother Jazz forward to bring the message he's put on, Lord, put on his heart. Thank you, Brother.
Well, it's good to be here, even though I wish it was for the reason that I'm here. But I know God is faithful, and it's already evident, that God is at work. And it's Sue is going through the healing process, and she is where she needs to be for a time. And as I got the message, and Pastor Alex asked me if I would come up and bring the message again today, I've been working through some things in my own life that I thought I would speak out of, which I normally do. And last week I spoke about what it means to be childlike in your faith relationship with God and to protect that childlikeness, because as we grow in our faith, we tend to become more adult-like, and that's not always good. You know, to be childlike in the presence of God, to be dependent upon Him, to really know that He is there to keep my heart soft and to keep my life straight and to help me to understand what it means that I can grow in my faith as I become more dependent upon Him. And I've been looking at that in my own personal way. And I've also been looking at Romans chapter 12, the first two verses again. And if you look at those verses, you know, it says, okay, because of all this information I have given you in what we call the first 11 chapters, they didn't have chapters back then, and therefore, I want you to do this. I want you to do this for God. And as I look at the first 11 chapters of Romans and all of the doctrine, all of the theology, all of the things that we as a people of God have become dependent upon for our faith relationship with God, I am so grateful, you know, when I was 32 years old that I began to understand the Roman road. And most of you have heard about that. I hope all of you have. In Romans 3:23. And I was 32, and I was living my own life in my own way. And I began to hear that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And then in Romans 6:23, but you know what the good news is? We all are sinners, but God has provided a way that we don't have to face damnation, death. We can receive eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then in Romans 10, if we confess with our mouth Jesus is our Lord, and we believe in our heart that He has been raised from the dead, we too shall be saved. We shall be lifted up. Because with the mouth we confess unto salvation, and with the heart we confess unto everlasting life. You know, it's where our heart is, where our head is, but mostly who we are as a people who are trying to understand what it means to live in a way that pleases God. If you look at these first two verses and take out your outline, I've put some information there that will help us to not only walk through it, but will help you to go home and study it for yourself, because that's really, really important. You know, Paul says, you know, I want you to do this because of the mercy of God. If you have understood at least in part the mercy of God and what it cost Him to be merciful toward us, that should be motive enough to help you to hear and to understand what God wants us to do. He wants us to give our lives a living sacrifice. Now, a sacrifice, we tend to think of it as something that we give up. And this is not what this word means. It's something that we give. We give to God a living sacrifice. We give to God our lives, all that we are. in all that he has created us to be, in knowing that he will take that which was sinful, and he will not only provide forgiveness, but he will, if we will allow him, take it out of our lives and replace it with things that are like Jesus. He will take away that selfishness and help us to live a selfless life. He will take away that desire to be important and help us to live a humble life. And, you know, these things aren't easy. None of us do it perfectly, but we can get better at it. You know, I've been at it now for 38 years, trying to figure out what it means to really give my life a living sacrifice. As I was doing the study for this, I found a quote by Gandhi, who was a man of God who is known for his living a selfless life to help those in need. And even though he was raised in a Hindu family and was raised that way, he got caught up in the person of Jesus Christ. And he began to really study him. And he was considering, you know, becoming a Christian until he came to America and went to a church in New York, and they rejected him, wouldn't let him come inside the door because of the color of his skin and because of who he was. And he kind of said, it's not the church that I want to be a part of, but I do want to have a faith relationship with God. And we don't have a lot of proof that that is true, except of one thing. In his writings, that as he was studying Christ, he found a man who was completely innocent, who offered himself as a sacrifice for the good of others, including his enemies, and he became the ransom of the world. It was a perfect act. You know, that is kind of what we're going to be thinking about this morning is, you know, Jesus is our model. He's our example who gave himself a living sacrifice to accomplish the work that God sent him to do, not only to live a perfect life so we could know what a perfect life looks like, but also to take upon himself the sins of the world so that we would understand what mercy is all about. He gave of himself so that he might serve us and help us. And that is my first point, to live a sacrificial life, to become a living sacrifice. First of all, we've got to live as a servant of the living Christ. And no matter what it is that God is going to ask of us on a particular day, it's about serving the living Christ. He is present, but we are his presence. And he needs our hands, and he needs our feet, he needs our mouths from time to time. He just needs us to be there to help somebody in need, to really help them to understand what being a Christ follower is all about. Helping us to understand that there is something so beautiful about living a life that is a sacrificial life, but not about what we give up, but what we give to God. Go with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Verses 25 to 28. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and that they are great, they who are great exercise authority upon them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, let him be your servant. And whoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. As the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. You know, and as I was going through my own experience in the last year about what will I do with my life, how can I better serve the Lord in the last years of my life? When you're approaching 80, you at least begin to think that way. And, you know, even though I've been healthy, you don't know when things will change. And I got this opportunity to serve in a different way, but I said, no, I want to serve the churches in central Wisconsin, and I will do it as a missionary, whatever that means. You know, because God has given me clear direction as to how I can best minister according to who I am. and according to the gifts that he has given me. So as I have been going through this time in my life, I'm beginning to understand as I meet with pastors who are going through difficult times, as I'm meeting with churches who are in conflict and somebody needs to go in and not tell them what to do, but help them determine God's will for their life at this time. As I'll be preaching next week in the church that I founded over 30 years ago and helping them to understand what are the things that God is saying to you today. You know, we had our season, we had our time. How can we better serve the people in our community, the people that are near us, the people in our schools, the people where we work? How can we best let people know that we are different, that we are unique, that we are the children of God who have been saved, but now asked to serve the living Christ? And I think it's going to be so important for us to get a handle on that over the years to come, because it's becoming more and more evident to me that people are, in America, are becoming more selfish, taking selfies, and all these things about, look at me, look at me, look at me, you know, and even our president chose to do that at a funeral, which kind of was an interesting time to do that, you know, look at me, I'm with these people, I'm with the president, I'm with this person. God says, that's not the way. He says, I don't care if anybody sees you. I don't care if anybody knows what you're doing. And I see you, and I know what you're doing. And as long as you are serving me with all that you are, with all that you have, that is going to be pleasing to me. Go with me to John chapter 26. John chapter 12, I mean verse 26. I thought there's not 26 chapters. What did I say? John 12, verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. So I think these are some of the verses, and I'll just look last at Galatians chapter 5. These verses that really speak so clearly as to God's will for our lives is to serve the living Christ, the one who died for us, in order that we by his mercy might be set free from judgment and might have opportunity to serve him in any way that he gives us an opportunity. And he will serve not only through us, but people will be attracted to him because they've been touched by his love. Verse 13 of chapter 5. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. You know, if I understand it right, you know, when God began saving me, I mean, he saved me completely when I made my decision and accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. He covered me with the righteousness of Christ and set me free from the fear of judgment. But then he began to change me from the inside out to make me more like Jesus, to make me more of a servant. And as I have come to understand it, you know, I have liberty to do with my body that which I like. But you know what I like? I like to see the smile of God. I like to serve Jesus. And some Christians don't get that. They think now that they're a Christian, they can sin and get away with it. And I don't think that's going to be true. And I just want to warn you, if that's where you're at, that I can... You know, I was with a man just a week ago in one of our churches who said, you know I drink too much. And I know it's affecting my marriage and it's affecting my children, but I just enjoy it so much. And I says, did you just hear what you said? You know, that's selfishness. That if you just enjoy doing what you're doing, there's something wrong. You should enjoy it. I don't care if you have a drink or two, but enjoy drinking to the place of drunkenness is a sin. And I know that because I've been there, done that. And he was really quiet for a while. And I just told him, and I don't think I said this last week, I said, I want you to go home. I want you to get a piece of paper. I want you to write down all of the reasons why you think getting drunk is good for you. and write down all the reasons why it's not good for you. And I hope that by the time you get done, your list on the side of why it's not good for you will be so big that you'll have many reasons to say, I just need to stop this. And he started like, he said, no, we're not going to argue about it. This is what God says. Let me serve you today by helping you to understand that Satan can play all kinds of mind games with you. So basically what I think number one says is give your will to the will of God. Say, God, not my will, but thy will be done in this matter, in this thing that you've given me opportunity to do. And I know as I'm going through different times in my life with my daughter, who is so not in very good shape, and my wife is struggling, and other things, I'm thinking, God, how can I balance this all out? But he's given me wisdom, and he's given me opportunity. Number two, live a life of love. You know, if you're going to really live a life of a living sacrifice, learn what it means to live a life of love. And love is doing the right thing, the compassionate thing, the good thing, even though it may not be what you would choose to do at this time. Well, I don't have time to do that. Yes, we can find time to do the right thing. We can find time to to really help God, help us to understand what it means to give our heart to what pleases him. God, purify my heart. Give me a clean heart today. Give me. I woke up with a bad throat and it's not getting better, but maybe water will help. Go with me to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew 22. And some of these verses are so familiar. But sometimes familiarity gets in the way because we've got to go back and think about them again. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40. Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. And you know, I don't know about you, but I don't always love to the extent that God says I should. And I forget that he says, I know you can't love as I want you to without my help. Because I have found in my own life that loving others as I love myself is where the difficulty becomes, because at times I don't love myself as I should. And I think, you know, we tend to love each other according to what we do rather than according to who we are. And if I'm a child of God, and by the mercies of God, God has set me free from a life of sin and brought me into a life of being a servant, he says, I love you so much that I'm going to show you how I can use you to express my love to those in your family, to those in your neighborhood, to those in your community, to those in other parts of the world. And there is so much, so good about beginning to understand that when you do the right thing as God defines it, you feel really, really good inside. John chapter 13. Beginning with verse 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you. We've heard this so many times, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this all men shall know that you are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. You know, one of the things that God has been saying to me, and I'm just going to share it with you. You know, when I have been praying for Sue and for Alex and understanding that it may be a month or two, I don't know, God knows that, or I just heard something about maybe she's going to this nursing home. I know tomorrow I'm going to send a card, and I'm going to give them a gift to help them with the driving, with the expenses, and he'll go back and forth to Milwaukee, that's no short drive, at least once a week. And what can we do to show our love? And one of the things I appreciate about Northland Bible Church is the way that you love one another. When I come here, I can sense that there's something special going on about this family. And I'll bet you're already talking about how can we help? How can we serve Alex and Sue, our pastor and his wife? How can we help them with the extra expenses that they'll have? What can we do? You know, how can we show the world how much we love them by the gifts that we're going to give, the living living sacrifice that we're expressing to God? This is what we do. We just give because this is the right thing to do. Colossians chapter 3, 12 to 14. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long-suffering, forbearing one another, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also should ye. In verse 14, above all these things, put on charity or compassion, which is the bond of perfectness. And I think there's something so beautiful about this opportunity that God has given you. And I hope the whole community of Tomahawk and some of the neighbors are going to be talking about what this church is doing to serve, to be a living sacrifice to the pastor and his wife, who are going through a time that nobody expected, except God knew that it was going to happen. And I think, I do think he protected her from paralysis. He works in different ways. I do question him, but I don't say doesn't know what he's doing. I know God knows what he's doing. In his hard times, you have to say, okay, God, I trust you. You allowed this to happen. You didn't send it. You allowed it to happen. Now, what can we do to serve and to show our love for Sue and for Pastor Alex as they are going through this time? Number 3, live a life of obedience. Ephesians 4. 17 to 24. And it's a long portion of scripture. I'm not going to read it for lack of time, but I do want to go down to the last verses, verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. You know, and it says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. And we renew our mind by listening to God clearly, personally, as I read his word. I take him at his word. I don't always understand why, but I do it anyway, and I understand after the fact. You guys don't realize where God has brought me from a person who was an alcoholic, and after all that I thought was going to make me happy, and then to begin to set me free from that desire to drink too much, and to bring me into a ministry that I never thought possible. I never, ever, ever thought that I would be able to serve him and serve God's people, and to show his love in many different ways, and to show them what obedience looks like, and why it's important. Why it's important? Because once he saved me, he says, now I want to set you free. But it's not going to be easy. It's going to take a while. You won't quite get there until you meet Jesus face to face, and then he'll set you free, and we will be like him. But you know, James 1, 12 to 22 to 24 says, be not listeners of the word only, but be doers of the word. But what I wanted you to look at is Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, because these are the verses that helped me so many years ago. So many years ago. Ephesians 2, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Those verses, boy, once I began to understand them, you know, because he covered me with the righteousness of Christ. And I know he saw me just as if I had never sinned. But then he says, but it's really important what the world sees in you. If the world sees you being transformed by me changing your heart, changing the desires of your heart, renewing your mind, helping them to understand that salvation is so much more than just saying a prayer. That only starts the process, the salvation of God's Spirit to set me free, to work out my own salvation with fear and trembling. And that means it's kind of easy to get self-righteous. It's kind of easy to think you understand it when you don't understand it. It really is going to take a while before you understand what God is saying to you in a personal way. It's not that easy. This is not just head knowledge. This is heart knowledge. But when you begin to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, knowing that it is God which makes it possible, because He is at work in your heart, He is at work in your life, enabling you to know God's will and to do God's will. And that is what Paul was saying in his letter to the Romans in the first two verses as well. You know, work out your own salvation. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you might know, you might prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect, the will of God, not only for you, but for the whole world. You know, this is what this is really, I think, so important for the church to hear today. So important for the church today. And I don't know about you, but I hate political correctness. Anybody else hate political correctness? And they have duped us as Christians, trying to say that if we aren't politically correct, we won't be okay in the eyes of the world. And I say, who cares? I don't want to be right in the eyes of the world. I want to be right in the eyes of God. Amen. And what God says is true today, as it was yesterday, it is true forever. Because God is the same today as He was yesterday and as He will be forever. And if people say to me, well, you're narrow-minded, and I said, maybe you think that's true, but that's, if God says it's true for me, and my God is not narrow-minded, my God knows the truth, and He wants to speak it clearly in and through the lives of His people. And we need to know that if we're going to be a living sacrifice, we not only have to be servants of the living Christ, we not only have to ask God to help us to live a life of love so that we can give our heart to what pleases Him. We not only need to make a decision that we're going to live a life of obedience, giving our minds to the Word of God, really giving our minds to the Word of God. And then He says, and live a life of worship. Give your devotion and your adoration to God and no one else. You know, if my heart is devoted to pleasing God, people will see my faith in a real way. And if they don't like it, I can show them why I live this way by taking the Word of God. And I can say, this is the best of all possible lives. Romans 6, just back up a little bit in Romans. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. That is a life of worship. When I give myself all that I am, my mind, my heart, my hands, my feet, my mouth, and it's not going to be easy. But when God takes over a part of your life that you've been holding back, you will be blessed. You will be blessed. In 1 John 3:23. First John chapter 3, verses 2 to 3. If you have your Bibles, would you read this with me? Beginning with verse 2. Beloved, meaning we are beloved by God, now are we sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. That's what living a life of worship is really all about. That when I see Jesus, if I'm living to honor him, to show my adoration for him, to show my love for him, to show my desire to please him by being a servant, by being one who loves with the love that he gives me, that sacrificial, that unconditional love, by living a life of obedience with his help, knowing I can't do it without his help, and I'll never be able to do it without his help, and by giving my life as an act of worship, giving my devotion and my desire to God, remembering that it says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Did you see on the web that the atheists in Madison are trying to get our Governor Scott Walker, who is a believer, raised in a Baptist family, to take this verse out of his sight on the web? You know, you are governor. You've got to separate yourself from all things about God. And Scott isn't even listening to them. Pray for him because he is a believer. He's got it on his website. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And that's he's not going to be politically correct in that area, and I hope he never is. Would you pray with me? Father God, there's so much that we have to think about to understand better what it means to be a living sacrifice, to live a life as a servant of the living Christ, living a life of love, that love which is so wonderful and so full and so deep, that agape love, that unconditional love, that the world can understand that in a way that is very, very real to them. By also living a life of obedience, of really working at being obedient to you. Knowing that we're saved by grace through faith, and that too is not of ourselves. That too is a gift that you have given to us, but there is a response that you want us to give to work out our salvation with fear and trembling, in order that we might come to better understand not only who you are, but who we are at this time in our lives. Because we can only give as much of ourselves as we know to as much as you as we understand. And we should be growing in both of these ways. And I pray that that might be true for these good people. And then above all, to live a life of worship. To understand that when I live my life, that you are watching, that you are listening, that you desire us to be examples of what it means to be one who is in the process of becoming more like Jesus, that one who died for us. Pour out your Spirit upon this congregation. Pour out your Spirit upon Alex and Sue, especially upon Sue's body, as I know she desires to give it again completely to you, and that time will come. Pour out your Spirit upon the church. Help them to understand where they have failed and what it is that you would have them to do. Because I think Jesus is coming soon and they need to be ready. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, brother.